In your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now, 2 Timothy, as we have been studying this book in the Bible, is written for the church in the last days. And the instruction in this book is especially for preachers and for churches and for the believers in Jesus Christ in the last days. And so it is certainly noteworthy that we have specific instructions to churches and a specific instruction to preachers in the last days. And we spent a number of weeks talking about that the answer to the perilous or the dangerous times that would come, that would characterize the last days of the church age, we have found out that the answer is the Bible, the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and that from a child, verse 15, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that scripture, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now we have the inspired Word of God. That's the answer. That is the answer for the people of God to come out of the last days with victory and with blessing and with reward. And how to raise their families in the last days. Go by the Bible. And you know, in light of that, in light of the Bible is the answer, we have a specific application of that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, I charge thee therefore, that's a concluding statement, a result of what has already been discussed in chapter 3. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. So, we have here specific duties of preachers in the last days. Specific duties of the preachers in the last days. And of course, it's very simple. First of all, what is the duty of preachers? It says, verse 2, preach the word. That's pretty simple. Preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Why? The Bible is the inspired Word of God. It is perfect. It is pure. It is without error. It is infallible. It has all the answers that man needs to live godly in these wicked and last perilous times. And so the Bible tells us, God tells us, that the preacher is supposed to preach the Bible. Now, that's real kind of simple. But how much of the Bible do you think he's supposed to preach? That's a good question. How much of the Bible do you think he's supposed to preach? How much of the Bible do you think he's supposed to preach? All the Bible. What else is he supposed to preach besides the Bible? What else is he supposed to preach besides the Bible? What else is supposed to preach beside the Bible?
Nothing.
It says, preach the word. Why? Because the Bible is the inspired word of God, and the Bible has all the answers, and the Bible is without error and infallible and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. They preach the Bible. That's what the job is. Now, just from a practical standpoint, okay, how big is the Bible? 66 books in the Bible. How many books of the Bible is a preacher supposed to preach? 66 books. Now, you tell me how a preacher could preach the Bible and the people could hear the Bible if they went and heard a 20-minute sermon once a week for 52 weeks a year and that's all they did. They never hear it. They never hear the whole Bible. And besides that, most of us need to hear something 3 or 4 or 5 times before it sticks and hits us, and so we understand it. So he says, preach the Bible. Now, Brother Kanish went to Europe right when after the Iron Curtain came down. He went to Hungary. He had already had a support. He had been in Malaysia. And he says, I'm going to Eastern Europe. The Iron Curtain came down. I'm going to go there and preach the Bible and start churches. And I remember he went to Dr. Monroe Parker. And he said, now, you know, us Westerners have never been in Eastern Europe. And you have any special advice? He says, yeah, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. And so the duty of the pastor is to preach the Bible. Not the missal, not the prayer book, not the Reader's Digest, not what was on the movies, not any of these things. Preach the Bible. Not what book he read last week. Preach the Bible. That's simple, isn't it? Now, it tells us, secondly, that he's supposed to preach the Bible in a specific manner. How is he supposed to preach the Bible? Notice what it says in verse 2. It says, preach the word. That means the Bible. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So now the Bible gives us the pattern in which the Bible is supposed to be preached. First of all, it says in season and out of season. All right? Well, what does that mean? That means that in all seasons. In all seasons. When it's popular, and if it isn't popular, preach the Bible in season and out of season. Preach the Bible even when people don't like what you're preaching. Preach the Bible when people like what you're preaching. Preach the Bible. Be ready to preach in all seasons. Then it says, how are you supposed to preach? It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, this is a very important part of how to preach. Okay? It says, reprove. Now, if you are a good radio listener and you listen to a bunch of these national figures on the radio, if you listen carefully, they will say, you are never supposed to preach with conviction. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Wrong. It says reprove. That is the word that the Bible contains that says preach with conviction. Conviction. In other words, use the Bible to convince people what is right and what is wrong. To preach in the Bible in such a way as to say there is no room for a gray area. This is the way it is. I remember a preacher one time, this young man was asking about going to a certain seminary. And this preacher said, now you got to be careful about going to that seminary. And you know why? He says, because at that seminary, they don't do a very good job of saying, thus saith the Lord. That seminary is more like, well, you got view A, you got view B, you got view C, and you got view D. And there's five different opinions about this passage of Scripture. I'm telling you, all five opinions, take your pick. Now, that isn't teaching the Bible. Now, that's what's called teaching in a lot of Bible colleges, but that's not teaching the Bible. That's not why you go to school. You don't go to find out everybody's opinion. You go to find out, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Now, you know, I guess we could be on that one a long time, but you know what? It's easy to give point A to view A, B, C, D, and then drop it. There's no responsibility there. There's no accountability there. People can have the opinion of whatever they want, but that's not the duty of a preacher. His job is to teach them what the Bible says, and he better find out what it says, and he better get right with God and alone with God to be able to say what it says. And, you know, a lot of people, I wonder, do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what the Bible says? How about it, young person? Do you know what the Bible says? You say, well, I know what my dad believes. I know what the preacher believes. But do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe? That's the kind of understanding of the Bible that's required to live for God in the last days. Doesn't that make sense? That's the kind of living it takes to live for God in the last days. Not, well, I don't know what I believe. No, you better know what you believe. And you say, well, I don't know what I believe. Well, then you better get working at it, and you better get right with God, and you better learn what the Bible says. No, so it says reprove, and then it says rebuke. And rebuke means to make it clear, hey, don't do that. That's wrong. You know, where else are you going to hear the word no? Are you going to hear the word no on TV? They're going to tell you no. You don't go read the newspaper and they're going to say, now, young people, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't. You aren't going to hear the word no. And in fact, there's a lot of parents. They don't, you know what? Some parents, they don't know what the word no means. And some husbands, they need to know what the word no means. And they need to say to your wife, no, you're not going to do that. You aren't doing that. You know what? That's what it says. It says rebuke. It means say no. I thank the Lord that my dad would say to me, we don't do that. I needed that. I needed someone to say no. That's why people get in all sorts of trouble, because dads don't know how to say no. They don't know how to say, you don't do that. We don't do that. That's not right. We aren't going there, and you aren't going there, and it's wrong. That's what it means to rebuke. Say no. And then it says to exhort. That word is to encourage. Encourage people to do that which is right. Encourage people in the path of God. It's the word parakaleo, to come alongside and said, hey, let's do it. Let's go and do the right thing. Encourage people to obey the Bible. And then it says here, it says to do that with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, that's an important thing for a pastor to know. You know why? Because pastors would like people to receive the message the first time. But the fact is, most people don't receive it the first time. Now, it's always a blessing when there are those who do receive it the first time. But you know, it's not usually like that. Our hearts are hard oftentimes. And you know, I heard a friend of mine, he said, when you start preaching on something that people don't like, the first time they reject it. The second time they tolerate it. The third time they start putting up with it. The fourth time they begin to listen. The fifth time they begin to consider it. The sixth time they start searching it out. And the seventh time they finally receive it. Now, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think that's what long-suffering means. It means you just have to keep preaching it over and over and over. And you say, so why do you keep preaching it over and over and over? You know why? Because the Bible says so. Preach it over and over and over. And by the grace of God, as time goes on, people will receive it, those that are saved. They'll receive it. But you have to keep preaching with long suffering. And then it says, with doctrine. It's, okay, with doctrine. You know, that means you need to teach the doctrines of the Bible. All the doctrines of the Bible. You know, it's interesting, it didn't say there, teach it with stories. A preacher went to Africa to preach. And the missionary says, you know, in Africa, they don't understand American stories. And the preacher says, well, I won't have anything to say then. Because most of my sermon is all about stories. No, the Bible says, with doctrine. Hit the doctrines of the Word of God. And so doctrine is important. The teaching, what does the Bible teach about Christ? What does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? What does God, the Bible teach about the Father? What does the Holy Spirit teach about the church? What does the Bible teach about man? What does the Holy Spirit, the Bible teach about sin and prophecy and angels and the devil? With doctrine. So it says, preach the word. It says, preach after God's specific pattern. And then it says, preach it like you will be judged for it. Verse 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. What is he saying? He's saying, you know what? Preachers are going to be judged. They're going to be judged how they obey this command. They're going to be judged about how they obey God in this issue of preaching the Bible. Think of a couple verses in the Bible. Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3. Here was Ezekiel, God's preacher to the people of Israel in Babylon. In Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Okay? Just like a watchman, a night watchman guards a building. He says, you're going to be the spiritual watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. What does it say? It says, now you have a job. Tell the wicked that I'm going to judge their wickedness. Now, if you don't tell them what they're doing, it's wicked and it's going to be judged by God. Well, they're still going to die in their wickedness, and they're going to die in their sin, but I'm going to require their blood at your hand. Oh, wow. I'm going to require their blood. I'm going to hold you responsible because you didn't tell them the truth. You didn't tell them that what they were doing was wrong. Notice verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth not turn from his righteousness, nor and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. And so here's a man that's doing right. He turns from doing right, and you don't stop him from keeping on going the wrong way. You just let him go, and you don't warn him. What does the Bible say? Well, he'll die in his sin, and his blood will I require at your hand. You know, people, they don't like it if you tell them something that they're doing wrong, do they? They don't like it. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if they're doing wrong and you don't tell them, yep, they're going to fall, and God's going to judge you for not telling them. And this is what he says to the preacher. He says, if you don't tell them, and because you don't tell them what they're doing is wrong, and they fall into the results of their sin, when they are judged, when you're judged, you're going to be held accountable. Now, your people don't like that. And if you're doing wrong, and someone comes up to you and says, you know, you're doing wrong, oh, you're the most terrible person in the world. But you know what? It's a lot better to be the most terrible person in the world than to stand before God and God said, hey, you didn't do your job. You know, there's there's this popular preacher by name Joel Osteen. I didn't see it, but he was on Larry King talk show. And Larry King said to him, how come you don't tell people about heaven and hell? And he says, that's not my calling. My calling is just to encourage people to positive thinking. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 20. And let's think what the Apostle Paul said about his ministry. Acts chapter 20 and verse 26. Preach like you will be judged. Preach like you will be judged whether you preach all the Bible or you don't preach all the Bible. Acts 20, verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Here's the Apostle Paul talking about his ministry. I am pure from the blood of all men. Now he's going back to this Ezekiel passage where it says if you don't warn a person and they go to hell, that their blood will be required at your hand. And then he says, I take it a record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Okay? So what about these churches that every Sunday the only thing they preach is the gospel? The gospel. You know, how to be saved. Every Sunday. And they don't teach the rest of the Bible. Well, number one, they aren't teaching the gospel because the gospel includes repentance. And people can't repent of sin if they don't know what sin is. How can they repent of sin if they don't even know what rebellion against God is? How can they repent of sin if the preacher will never tell them what sin is? How can they repent? And so, what does he say to preach in the last days? Preach like you'll be judged by God. And you know, this is a good point. We aren't supposed to preach for man's approval. And young person, you know, the Christian life isn't about what other people think. You aren't living for other people in that sense. You are living for God. You are living for God. We do right because it's right before God. What happens when everybody around you does wrong? Does that mean you're going to do wrong? What happens when everybody around you changes their convictions? Are you going to change your convictions? That's what a lot of people do. They go to Bible college, some sort of Bible college, and they change their convictions. And you got to say, well, guess what? They must have been living for men, not for God. Now notice the fourth thing about the duty about preachers in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, let's explain this verse. They will not endure sound doctrine. Well, did you ever get a lecture by your dad and you say, you know, I'm tired of this? And you say, your dad says, no, you're going to just sit right there and you're going to keep on listening. Okay? And you have to endure the lecture. Okay? Well, the Bible tells us in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine. That means they're going to get tired of it. They're going to run from it. They're going to leave it. They're going to quit. They aren't going to endure sound doctrine. Okay? And why? It says, because after their own lust, the word lust in the Bible is the word what? Desires. Their own lust, their own strong desires. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, the having itching ears doesn't modify teachers. It modifies the people. It means the people are going to heap to themselves teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. They're gonna go and they're gonna find anybody. This is how it happens. People say, you know, I don't like what you preach. And they will go to whatever source they can find that will agree with what they want to hear. And therefore, if they can find someone who will tell them what they want to hear, then what they want to hear, even though it's wrong, is right because they heard someone else say it was right. That's interesting, isn't it? That's itching ears. And, you know, young people, they come to dad, they says, I want to do such and such. And dad says, no, you're not doing that. And they say, well, so-and-so does it. And so-and-so does it. And everybody's doing it. Well, what are they saying? They're saying, well, that's what I want to hear, because that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And these people say it's okay to do that. And that's what my ears want to hear. They don't want to hear no. They don't want to hear what dad says. They don't want to hear what mom says. They want to hear what they want to hear. Now, the Bible says people in the last days are going to have itching ears. And they're going to flock to teachers who are going to tell them that they can live the way they want. That's really what it says. They're going to flock to the church that doesn't preach against drinking beer. They're going to flock to the church that doesn't preach against rock music. They're going to flock to the church that doesn't preach modesty. They're going to flock to wherever they can hear whatever they want to hear. So what is the duty of the preacher? It says to preach faithfully, despite the spirit of the day. Preach faithfully, despite the spirit of the day. Now notice Isaiah chapter 6. Now Isaiah was in the context of prophecy, of apostasy. The people were rebelling against God. The people of God were doing wrong. They were going to be judged by God. And Isaiah, the Lord calls Isaiah to preach the Bible. And we find that in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, of course, the context is Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he humbled himself before God and got into the presence of God. And you know, when people get into the presence of God, that's when they hear the voice of God. That's why a lot of young people don't get called to preach today, is because they've not gotten into the presence of God. And you don't get called to the ministry unless you get in the presence of God. And people don't understand that, but that's exactly what the Bible says. But he's in the presence of God, and God said this. Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Notice, singular and plural, the Trinity. And then he said, here am I. Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. What's he saying? He says, you know what? Preach and preach and preach, even though they won't hear what you say. Even though their heart is so bent on wickedness, they won't understand a word that you say. He says, how long should I preach? He said, how long? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, until the judgment comes and every city is destroyed, just keep preaching. And so Isaiah was called to preach faithfully, even though the people would not hear what he said. And Ezekiel, turn there to Ezekiel 3. We have the same truth in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel 3:11, he says, go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of the people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Doesn't matter if they're going to hear it and receive it, or whether they're going to reject it and put it off. He says, your job is to preach faithfully. Preach despite the spirit of the day. Now, that's a good, that's a great admonition for preachers. Preach whether they will hear it or whether they won't hear it. Whether they like it or whether they don't like it. Preach the truth. Preach the Bible. Now notice, it says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They are to preach the word. They are to preach after a specific pattern. They are to preach like they are to be judged. They are preached faithfully despite the spirit of the day. And they are to preach sound doctrine. Notice the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, that's an important word in your Bible. The word sound means free from the least taint of disease. Free from the least taint of disease. Now, you know what? There might well be someone here tomorrow that wakes up and, you know, you have a sore throat and you have an earache and you have a stuffy nose. And you have a number one case of a cold. But the fact is, right today, those germs are already working. And you may think you are healthy, but in reality, you aren't healthy. You may look healthy, but the fact is, the germs are already there and you have, some kind of, cold infection or cold virus, and tomorrow you are going to know you're sick. But you didn't get that sickness out of the sky in 1 second. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you already had it in your system. Now, what is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is doctrine that is healthy. It doesn't have within it hidden germs that are unseen that will produce in time sickness. Now, let's look at a couple of verses in Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse number 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Now that's a good phrase again. Wholesome words, healthy words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now what does it say? It says, correct doctrine, what does it produce? Godliness. Right doctrine produces godliness. That's what it's saying. Wholesome words produce godly living. Now, that's pretty simple. Oh, it may look okay. It may sound okay. But you don't, its real identity is found in what it produces. Now, it's pretty simple. It's really kind of simple. How the people live. How the people live. If they don't live right, they might have all the right names on the billboard, but there's something wrong. I tell people, go to the mega church and go into the room, bedrooms of these young people that go to these mega churches that claim to preach the Bible. And what are you going to see in their bedrooms? You're going to see the posters of all the rock stars. What are you going to see? You're going to see these young ladies dressing immodestly. What are you going to see? You're going to see them involved in worldly activities. Ungodliness. What does it tell you? It tells you that even though they have the right doctrine on a piece of paper, it isn't sound doctrine. There's disease in it. And that disease produces ungodly living. And he says, preach sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine is? I like what an old-time preacher said a couple hundred years ago. He said, for the time will come, there is a time coming to the church when men will not hear practical truths of the gospel, when they will prefer speculative opinions, which either do not do any good to the soul or corrupt and destroy it. To that of the wholesome doctrine of deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow me, which Jesus Christ has left to his church. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is it saying? The fundamental core message of the New Testament is, it's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the cross that Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. He had to obey the Father. He had to deny himself. He had to give himself to die on the Calvary's cross for our sin. And the central message of the Christian life is to deny yourself. To say no to the world. To say no to your own life. To say no to your own way. And submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that is the essential message of sound doctrine. And that message is not a popular message today. And so, this old-time preacher says, but after their own lust, they will follow and hate those preachers and that doctrine by which they are opposed. And they shall heap to themselves teachers. They will add one teacher to another, run and go about after all to find out those who insist not on the necessity of bearing the cross, of being crucified to the world, and of having the mind that was in Jesus. In this disposition, interested men often find their account. They will set up for teachers and widen and strew with flowers the way down to eternal ruin, taking care to soothe the passions and flatter the vices of a trifling, superficial people. The duties of preachers in the last days. Preach the word. You know, there's a difference, in my opinion, between preaching and teaching. The difference is this. Teaching is, well, this is what it says. Take it or leave it. Preaching is, this is what it said, and you better do it. Difference. Preach the word. Preach after a specific pattern. Preach like you'll be judged. Preach despite the spirit of the day. Preach sound doctrine. What should our response be to that as a people? Well, we can see that in the last days that the spirit of the day will not be to hear. And we need to take note of the words of the Lord Jesus. He that hath ears, let him hear. There will be a spirit in the last days not to obey God. And we need to have a spirit of obedience. Obedience to God's word. There is a tendency to hear it and not to do anything about it. To hear it and make no decisions. That's the spirit of the last days. I think it is important that we are reminded of John 10:48. Excuse me, 12:47-48. John 12:47-48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. What do you mean, I judge him not? Jesus is the judge, isn't he? He said, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, that's pretty plain, isn't it? What will be the standard at the judgment? The Bible. It doesn't matter what so-and-so says, and doesn't matter what so-and-so person wrote in that book, and what so-and-so person wrote in that book. It doesn't really matter. Because man is not going to judge us at the judgment seat. But what God said in his book. And people can take their pick and go to whatever preacher they want so they can live the way they want and not have to change their lifestyle. And they can get the praise of men and they can become a big shot in some organization, and because that preacher is going to preach the whole Bible. But you know what? That does no good. Because at the judgment seat, there's only one standard of judgment. That is the Word of God. And so, we better know what the Bible says. And we better hear what the Bible says. We better obey what the Bible says. For God's word is the precious gift of a loving God to us. It's a message of His love of our soul, that He is merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, not any willing that any should perish. If we will turn from our sin and turn to Jesus Christ. It's a book of blessing for our lives, where we can have the blessing of God in this life, in our family, in our life, in our homes, if we will obey this book. This is the message that will keep us true to God in the perilous times that are facing us. In the day of apostasy, it ultimately will be the determination that God will say to the Christian, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or to the lost, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire." No wonder the Lord said, "Preachers, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Whether people like it or whether people don't like it. Whether its message is popular or whether its message is unpopular. Where people are doing it or people are refusing it." This is the message for the last days. God's Word. How are we doing? How are we doing, young person? Do you really know what the Bible says? Are your beliefs based on the Bible? Have you gotten a hold of God and His book and said, "You know what? The Bible doesn't have a bunch of opinions. The Bible has something specific to say. We need to know what thus saith the Lord and have that conviction in our life so we can stand in the eroding times in which we live." What a blessed thing it is as well to know Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness. But that wicked one toucheth us not," when we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You for Your word today. And thank You for the specific instruction. And Lord, it certainly would behoove us, Lord, to be in a place that preaches the Bible, a place that not only gives us the blessings of the Word of God, but also gives us the warnings. And Lord, it is important that we today do not fit into the spirit of the day, looking for a church or a preacher that tells us what we want to hear and okays how we want to live, but is forced to live by the Bible because it's the Bible. Lord, I pray that You will help our young people to realize the danger of the hour and how that Christianity is filled with people who are looking for someone to tell them that the way they want to live, it's okay, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And I pray that, Lord, that they would realize that they need to know what your word says and get Bible convictions in their life and live by Bible convictions. And Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Help us not to be ashamed of sound doctrine. For in doing so, we'll both save ourselves and them that hear us. And Lord, and so I pray that you will help us to be faithful to you and live for Jesus Christ, a life of sacrifice, of self-denial, a life of dependence upon the Holy Spirit, a life of obedience despite the day in which we live. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that is not saved, I pray that you will help them to get a sense of the truth of the Bible and of sin and of the Lord Jesus and of the truth of the gospel, how Christ came to die for them and give them a new life, a life of holiness and purity and right. And so, Lord, I pray that even today you'd encourage us to remain true to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed.